For months, opinion polls had shown lagging public confidence in the ANC. The drop is blamed in part on the expenditure of millions of tax dollars in lavish improvements of the presidential complex at Nkandla. Public opinion also reflected disapproval of the violent police response to striking miners in Marikana 2 years ago. But a recent poll by the research company Ipsos showed that 65% of voters still intend to vote for the ANC, at least on the national level. Yaki Siliers is the director of the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria. He says South Africans still vote on party loyalty rather than policy. Many black South Africans reward the ANC for ending white rule 20 years ago. And he says while many urban supporters are critical of corruption scandals, rural voters overwhelmingly credit the party for improving their lives.
You must remember the ANC is more than 100 years old. It's got an unparalleled brand. And there are two stories about South Africa. The one story is, the story of Nkandla, corruption, and so on. The other story is really, if you look quite carefully at what the ANC has been able to deliver, it has been access to electricity, social grants, infrastructure in rural areas. These things are not that visible to many South Africans, but I've just spent the last 2 days driving from East London in the Eastern Cape through to Durban, and you can see the extent of impact that the ANC has made in rural areas. So it's important to recognize that while the ANC, particularly in the urban areas, is struggling, in rural areas, not only does it have its liberation credentials and does it dominate the political life and the fourth, it is also done quite well for ordinary Africans.
Others attribute the successful patronage systems built by parties with origins as liberation movements. Hussein Solomon is a professor of political studies at the University of the Free State in Bloemfontein, South Africa.
Don't forget, it took the Congress Party in India almost 50 years to lose elections. Them, of course, saying that we delivered you from the British Raj, we delivered you from the British Raj, okay? What I'm saying to you is that there's still a loyalty to the ANC. In that same poll, one of the major reasons for people voting for the ANC was their loyalty to the party, given that this party delivered them from apartheid. At the same time, the ANC has been very smart, conflating state and party, government and party, in that they've been handing out, food parcels, putting up buildings, and so on, and claiming this is the ANC government is doing this way, putting up concerts for the youth. So, don't worry about all of our failures for the next 2 hours. You're going to have food and you're going to have great music. And unfortunately, to be frank, the voters tend to be quite fickle and they have a short memory. So I think that the ANC has been quite smart in terms of this.
The elections may also help boost the main opposition, the Democratic Alliance. Some polls of registered voters say the party could increase its share of the vote from roughly 17% to 23%. Siliers says there are some factors working in the DA's favor. He says urban dissatisfaction may lead some voters to split their vote for the provincial and national leadership. Helping the DA in a close race are parties to the left of the ANC, like the Economic Freedom Fighters, headed by the charismatic former leader of the ANC Youth League, Julius Malema. His party could take votes away from the ANC, as could a campaign by some party supporters. They are asking voters to protest against the ANC by choosing an alternative party, or by casting a no vote or blank ballot. The Democratic Alliance already controls one of the country's 9 provinces, the Western Cape, and some, including analyst Hussein Solomon, say it could win the richest, Gauteng, or at least the commercial capital there, Johannesburg.
Gauteng is going to be a very close race, according to all the recent polls, between the ANC and the Democratic Alliance. And to complicate matters further, The ANC leadership of Gauteng, which is the richest province, I think about half of the GDP of South Africa comes from there, is a person called Paul Mashatile. He was actually opposed to Zuma's candidacy as president of the ANC and was actually campaigning against him. So there's all kinds of tensions inside the ANC there. They might well lose to the DA if we factor in the economic freedom fighters, meaning that young unemployed youth will essentially vote against the ANC and vote for the economic freedom fighters. And this reduction in the vote will result possibly in the DA may be capturing Gauteng, which would mean that they would have both the Western Cape and Gauteng, two of the richest provinces in South Africa.
Some analysts say if the ANC does poll much below its current 66% of voters at the national level, the party could vote to replace President Zuma. Others do not think that's likely, and they think there will be pressure on the ANC to reform. That could mean moving to the left on issues such as land reform or nationalization of parts of the economy. Yaki Sillier says it could also mean a split within the ANC. He says many in NUMSA, the National Union of Mine Workers of South Africa, want to form a separate labor party that would appeal to urban workers. That would allow the bulk of the ANC to stay in the center, a position that Sillier says would be enhanced if Zuma appoints as deputy president of the country, as many expect. Prominent businessman and former trade unionist Cyril Ramaphosa. He's the deputy of the party and was instrumental in creating the national development plan that will guide the country for the next 16 years.
And many of us hope that Cyril Ramaphosa will, when appointed, because I think it is a question of when appointed deputy president, will be given sufficient autonomy, power within the Zuma administration to be able to focus our policies going forward on the implementation of the National Development Plan. If that happens, and the ANC may just be in an easier position to do that, given that it has lost some of the constraining influence on the left, in other words, NUMSA and others, to be able to do that, it may be quite a good news development for South Africa going forward. So that's sort of where we think things are going to go, a slightly smaller, more streamlined cabinet that is really more focused on service delivery.
Sillier does not think this election is a turning point. It's hard to beat the ANC brand, he says, but future polls, including municipal elections, will be another opportunity for opposition parties to expand their influence. If that's the case, he says, the question is whether the ANC will continue to accept the wins and losses that come with a democracy, or whether party leaders believe they've earned the right to rule at any cost. I'm William Eagle in Washington.